This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 272. This week, Brad and I check out Disney XD's 2014 series, The 7D.
Oh. Hey, if you wanted to read the funny papers, you could have just asked.
Watch out, Opie. Someone's at the door. Oh, now you're being silly. Grumpy's not at the door. Grumpy's right here. A monster? I bet there's someone super special coming for a visit, not a monster. Well, monster-ish.
Day just keeps getting better.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we talk about just that, cartoons. I'm Jake Williams. I don't do the show alone, and in fact, I'm going to introduce you to the other person that does the show right now. Brad Chmielewski, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, dude. It's a nice little weekend. It's starting to finally feel like fall.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here for. I'm tired of summer, tired of heat.
Spice latte going on there.
I've made a huge mistake because I don't have that. But that's now all that I want for the rest of the day. How you doing, man?
Yeah, it's all right over here.
This week, we decided to do a show called The 7D. Not mm-hmm. do a show. I guess technically we didn't make it at all. But
we decided to bring the D. Wait, no.
Oh boy. And we just lost 50 subscribers. It's gone. the 7D is Disney's recent take on the Seven Dwarves, right? Came out in 2014.
But right, come on, that title is not good.
Well, so we'll get into this more, but I like the branding of the show more than I like the show. not to say that I think the name is good. I'm not giving the name a pass here. I think it like
just
it,
this. The 7D, the D, like, it's just, come on.
Like, the logo, I think the logo is cool. I think the marketing material is cool. However, I just kind of think, yeah, calling it the 7D makes it, you brought it up to me, and you were like, hey, have we watched the 7D yet? And I was like, oh, no, I don't think we've seen that show yet. And then I looked it up, not realizing what it was, thinking, like, is this some sort of, like, weird new reboot type of show with like seven dimensions and like you got to get to the 7D mm-hmm. to nope, just a straight up brand new kind of take on the seven dwarves, right? A little bit of a more modern but just take.
But just the dwarves, not Snow White. There's a princess. So it's confusing. Why are they the seven dwarves? Why couldn't they just been dwarves and you could have like 10 of them or something?
Oh, and they
if
never.
If you're not going to like Disney, if you're not going to like bring your properties together, why have this weird offshoot, right?
Well, so generally the theme is that this is a reimagining of these title characters from the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs film from the 1937. And this is their adventures prior to the introduction of Snow White. So this is them, I want to say way before the adventures and activities of the film, right?
Okay.
So in that case, yes, they set you up to be like, no, there's going to be no like evil witch lady. There's going to be no Snow White and familiar characters. I guess we're to assume that characters that are dwarves, I should brush up on my fantasy lore. Like, are dwarves usually of hundreds of years old? You know what I mean? I feel like they are.
I think usually, yeah.
So, but it's sort of funny because while they do have beards and things, and even in this show to match kind of like their original counterparts in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, I just sort of felt like they were like kids in this show and not the mini little adult dwarfs they were in the film.
Right, yeah.
But I think that also comes from the plot structure and the story structure of how they tell their stories and adventures in the show. So the 2014 is when it premiered. It actually was canceled in 2016. 2 seasons, 44 total episodes. It was actually placed into production in June of 2012, so it took a few years. I guess the original pilot was in Flash, and then they changed it over to traditional 2D animation because they thought it kind of fit the style a little bit more.
Interesting.
I felt like that didn't really come through. I kind of watched an episode of this thinking it was actually a Flash show, which is interesting the way it felt.
Yeah, it just looked like that clean Disney animation. Not even like as good as some of the shows like Gravity Falls or Star versus the Force of Evil, but it didn't feel hand-drawn or anything.
Yeah,
but.
And you know what really bugged me? We're getting into a little bit of design stuff here. Was the shadow was like this airbrushed soft shadow that was like almost always on the same side of the dwarves. Like there was a camera cut where I did notice that, oh, they flipped it, the 180 rule, I get it, like why they would put it there, but it just felt like a drop shadow effect or something. It felt like it was added later. It just was strange. It wasn't
the
stylized
characters to make them like the roundness of the characters to
yeah
do that.
You know how it's not like, I think in a lot of those shows, like a Gravity Falls or something, it's always like a hard line. And usually it's of a color to give them like an interesting sort of look. This just looked like straight up like, you know, Photoshop nerds are sitting here going like multiply 60% and it's like on there or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but
yeah,
it had this like weird airbrush
feel. Skimming through
feel
an episode now, you just kind of see it, yeah.
Now you'll never unsee it. I don't know what it was. It bugged me a lot of it. It gave it an old look to it. For a show that has that modern, thin-lined, kind of like snappy look to things, I felt like that shadow bugged me more than it probably should have. Generally, the story of the 7D is that the 7D themselves, the seven dwarves, I'm going to get confused saying that, have to defend the land of Jollywood from magical villains Grimm and Hildy Gloom, who are effectively the Team Rocket of of the 7D. They attempted to dethrone Queen Delightful and rule Jollywood for themselves. So there technically is a queen, but it's a different character entirely. So you do have the seven dwarves themselves, Bashful, Doc, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sleepy, and Sneezy, the main characters you're going to see. And the other characters you're really going to come across a lot are the Glooms, which are Hildy and Grimm. And you also have Queen Delightful. I think that's, aside from like episode specific characters, I think that's literally the only recurring characters that I came across in my episodes.
And like woodland creatures, I feel like bears seem to show up, and they're in the title sequence as well.
That's true. Actually, like, one of the episodes I watched centered around a bear. Now that I think of it.
So I think bears, they're just friends with woodland creatures, which makes sense because in the Snow White, they are as well.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like I kind of want a show off of the villains, like because they don't seem like very good villains. They're like hipster villains. Like I don't know, we just gotta rebel, right?
Yeah, let's do something mean today. It'd be good to have a show about them that was entirely removed from the dwarves. Like put them not in the world of the dwarves. Put them in some fantasy world. And still have them try to be those villains. But you're right. I thought they were probably of the most interesting characters. I had this stupid thought while watching it. I said, I don't know why I was thinking of like cosplay and like dressing up as your favorite like TV or game character. I was like, I bet the Glooms would be way more popular than any of those dwarves at any Comic-Con if they had their own show.
Maybe, yeah. It's the same idea with like Team Rocket, like Jesse and, is it Jess
James.
And Jesse?
James
and Jesse. Yeah. I feel like Nintendo could do a whole reboot or an offshoot of them and their struggles of catching Pokemon, like being really bad trainers. And you could kind of feel for them, be like, yeah, I don't know, that it always gets away. Like, what the heck?
Oh, man. You know how like fans have done those edits of like, I edited Family Guy and took out all the references. What if somebody did like a fan edit of just Team Rocket scenes and you could actually put together a coherent story? It's really just Jesse yelling at James all the time.
Yeah.
And Meowth being like, that, let's get the money, whatever. Like, I don't know why I just made him a New York like broker.
He's just a Rockefeller. Like, meow this. Well, anyway, we're talking about 7D, not Pokemon.
We are. So I'm hoping we each watch different episodes. Why don't we talk about what you experienced in your episode or episodes that you checked out for this week, Brad?
Well, I watched the episodes where we had the magic show and the beanstalk.
Oh my god, we both watched the same episode.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, we'll get it. This will be good though, because we can kind of talk about how we really felt about it.
I'm gonna mention the beanstalk one first, because I literally could not finish this one. Like, I gave up on the show. I was like, all right, I'm done. Like, I think it was the duck that did it, but when they got into the, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but when they got into the giant's castle with, and they introduced this duck, I was like, yeah, I'm done. I don't like this show.
Oh, you mean not Daffy Duck?
Yeah.
Right. So the general premise of the episode, as Brad's mentioning, is that there is a beanstalk. It's basically that this bell, I think, that is used in the kingdom to summon the seven dwarves, like Queen Delightful uses that, is stolen.
Bing bong bell or something?
The bing bong bell, yeah.
Bing bong bell.
It's stolen because basically a giant, a la Jack and the Giant Beanstalk, right, has stolen it and taken it up to his whatever, what do you want to call it, house, castle thing?
Yeah, cloud castle, because like that's where castle. The two villains end up going, yeah.
So he takes it, and they have to go get it back. So that's where this giant comes in. Meanwhile, this duck comes in, because Hildy and Grimm decide, actually more Hildy, they're like doing nothing. And she says, we could get like rich if I had some of these really rare eggs from this like duck. And they,
these bejeweled eggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bedazzled.
I think they're literally like bedazzled, crazy looking eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize, oh, this duck is up where this giant lives. That's where we're going to have to go to actually find this thing. So it, you know, everything comes to a head where all the action ends up taking place up in the giant's home, because the giant's protecting the duck. The duck's like his best friend, but the duck obviously has these like rare eggs. He doesn't want to get stolen. So the villains are there and the dwarves are there because their house was stolen. So it's just weird. Like, it is a story that has been told, but they're just trying so hard to make the 7D fit into it. Right? Like, that's what the episode felt like.
Right. Cause yeah, isn't Jack and the Beanstalk, isn't he going up there to get the goose that lays the golden eggs?
Yeah, so they basically took the exact same fable or story told way before this and just crammed the seven dwarves into it. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Before I quit this episode, my favorite part was when they had to go to the bean store. And there was a song about all the different beans.
Well,
that was pretty funny.
The bean owner guy, whose name I'm not recalling, had like a rhyme or a rhythm to every different type of beans.
So don't spill the beans, but I'm full of beans, and I tell you one thing, boy. If you don't like beans, you don't want beans, and I'll show you to the door.
We need bing bong beans.
Bing bong beans, oh, those are very rare, boys. These are the only ones I have.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ho, ho, hold your horses there, hi-ho heroes. There's no such thing as free beans. You get the beans, I get something in return. Done deal. I got me a bear for some beans. Booyah.
Oh, what did he say? I'll throw a clip in here for you guys. But basically, he was like, oh, you need this type of bean. That's really rare. He just happened to have seven left. And they go to take him. And he had this great one-liner, this like great rhyme right before they take the beans. Basically saying, like, you can't buy beans without dough. You know, like, he had the alliteration was like his thing as well.
So they plant the beans and they get up to the castle.
Yeah.
We find our two villains, Hildy and Grimm, right? Grimm. There and their servants. And this is where I turned off. So enlighten me in what happened in the rest of this episode.
So they become servants basically because they made their way up there and the giant kind of captured them. The giant has also taken the 7D house. He thought it was a cuckoo clock. So their house is up there. The giant doesn't know originally that the seven dwarves are in this house, but Hildi and Grimm trying to distract the giant so they can steal these eggs. Are they stealing the eggs or the bird? Maybe they wanted the bird so he could hatch the eggs. Anyway.
Probably, yeah.
They're basically like, hey, giant, there's 7 little dwarves in there. You should probably check it out. And he does, and he gets furious that, like, hey, you're coming up here. Like, basically, this giant is very protective of this duck. But it's not until he finds the 7 dwarves that they realize, like, oh, like, we're just here to protect you. It's actually those guys that are the bad guys. There's this side part where it's like, hey, we notice that your shoes are, like, way too small. So, like, we can help you with your, you're in pain all the time. We can help you make, like, cobble your own shoes. If we do that for you, will you basically give the bell back and, like, bring the house down and all this stuff? So that part of the episode is the 7 dwarves basically helping the giant.
Aha! I noticed by your lumbering gait and the splitting seams of your shoes that you, sir, have a foot problem.
Ah, that's why I need servants. My feet are owie, ouchie.
Lucky for you, I'm a licensed chiropodist. Let's have a look-see.
Okay.
I see the problem. Your shoes are too small.
Well, I am a growing boy.
Doc figured that if the giant's feet felt better,
he wouldn't need servants anymore. And he wouldn't need to call him with the bing-bong bell. Achoo!
So we made a deal that if we fixed his foot problem, he'd return the bing-bong bell and let us go.
I am a dwarf. Shoemaking is elf work.
Meanwhile, Grimm and I almost said Jesse and James. Grimm and Hildi actually do take the duck and make their way back to town, and the dwarves help the giant basically track them down. There is very little climax to this last like 60 seconds of like, hey, the duck is stolen, let's go get him. The giant lifts up one roof of a house, finds a family, lifts up a second one, found the duck. End of episode. Like, it was, there was no real threat or conflict of feeling in that, and everything kind of goes back to normal after that. It's I don't even want to say, we haven't even talked about the magic episode, but this episode I was like, so I didn't want to be there. I don't know how else to describe
right
it.
That's why I guess I want to talk about first. Mm-hmm. Because it was the second part of this episode here.
Yeah,
but yeah, I turned it off. I didn't like it. I was just like, I'm done. Like, I get what this show is. I don't want to watch the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that one was a tough one.
If it had been the first episode I would have watched, I may have made it through. But one, I had already watched one. We don't watch always a ton of episodes. Mm-hmm. But then just the fact that I was like, I'm just not digging this show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And this stupid duck is really annoying.
Yeah, so why I said kind of Daffy is the duck was literally like straight up a duck, but he kind of talked like Daffy and would and try to sound like a smart aleck all the time, and like, mm-hmm. just it's, but it's just like, oh, the man, the lines and the marks like just didn't hit the mark at all. Something about it wasn't great.
And they do something in this show where they constantly do the reality TV show. Yep. Thing where they cut back to the couch of some of the dwarves talking about like either what happened or what they're about to do.
Yeah.
And this is also a theme throughout the show where something happens where it's like, oh, the bong bong bell got stolen. Mm-hmm. Then the dwarves will say, guys, you know what we should do? We should go get the bong bong bell. And like, yeah, that's what you're going to do. I get the show is for kids, and you have to reinforce this. But as a when you have shows like Gravity Falls and Star Wars: Force of Evil that are smart, clever shows, and then you have this that just like dumbs it down so much, it's painful.
Yeah, I almost forgot to bring that up, that the reality show thing happens. Even Grimm and Hildi get their own like reality moments where they like cut to mm-hmm. the villain saying what they think is happening. And you're right, it's always a selection of the dwarves. It's never everybody. But it's like to try to lead you into like what they're doing. I don't know. I don't want to be mean and say like dumbed down, but it's like so overly simplified that I just felt like there was this weird barrier where it felt like it wasn't for me. And we've watched like shows aimed at younger kids. I'm thinking of like Just Incredible or Just in Time Go.
And that duck one, that girl and her duck.
Yeah,
right?
Sarah and Duck, where they feel like simple, engaging adventures or days of the life of these like little kids and their pets or whatever it might be. But you're kind of just along for the ride, enjoying the quietness and the charm and the moments. And this just felt like it was trying to go all the time, 100 miles per hour. There was a lot of yelling and like just I don't know what it is. And that's what I'm saying when I say like I like the branding a lot. I love the embroidered looking like text of like the 7D. So I thought this was going to be better. And then I watched the show and I don't know how to say it. It's just there's something, I like something the, missing.
Minus that drop shadow thing now that you mention it. I like the design of the dwarfs. Like I think them as characters look really neat. And they all have good images that reflect on who they are, if it's Sleepy or Doc or Grumpy. But that's the most positive thing I can say about the show.
That's like kind of where it ends. They also come off a little bit more as almost like gnomes and not dwarfs, which are two different races. Get it right. Well, mainly because one of them has like a garden pot on his head, so I'm thinking of like a garden gnome. But anyway.
Yeah.
The other episode was called Abracadopey, and it was basically Dopey doing a magic show where he turns, he's either on stage and he's trying to turn him into something. Or make him disappear.
No, he's just trying to make him disappear, mm-hmm. which this again goes back to the like super simplification of the show. I would say anyone over, 9 years old knows how this trick works, that there's another side to this door.
Spoiler, Brad's giving out magic secrets on the show now. Yeah. He spends the first part of the episode trying to make Sleepy disappear. It's not working. Then finally, when it does work...
Oh, it is working.
No, he'd like spin him and he was... Oh, did it work?
Yeah, it works. He's a good magician.
Well, these are things I didn't know about Dopey. but it's like it gets to this point where the next time he goes to make him disappear, there's a bear there with his hat on instead. So everyone is convinced that Dopey has now transformed Sleepy into a bear.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, typically, I think when these sorts of things happen in cartoons, regardless of age group, there's some sort of tell or a cutaway or something that suggests what happened. It doesn't just happen. So what I mean by that is they don't just shut the door on Sleepy, spin it around, and a bear pops out, which is exactly what happens here. And then 10 minutes into the episode, I was very confused and thought I missed something. Usually there's some sort of tell where you see him slip out or you see the door open or, you know what I mean? Something to allude to.
Right. There was, as I was maybe halfway through this episode, I'm like, wow, maybe he did like accidentally turn him into a bear. Did he say like some spell or use some magic?
So there was something I felt like I missed. To the point where when I finished the episode, I went back to be like, did I miss a shot? Like, you can leave the audience there. It just felt like a bit of storytelling maybe that just wasn't quite there, right? Basically, the antics of the rest of the episode are them going about doing what they would do as dwarves. In this case, it was, I think, Queen Delightful had a bunch of people she needed to entertain. And so the dwarves were going to be like the waiters and
the
stuff
slaves
like that.
For the day.
The slaves for the day, yeah. But it was like, hey, what would this situation be like if it was actually six dwarves and one bear? You know?
Right.
So there's quite a bit of that until the climax of the episode, which was going back to get Sleepy back or try to. They do get him back. And then they have this whole minute explaining like, oh, yeah, nobody told you, but like there was a bear cave like right behind the stage and that's how it happened. Like that feels like a tiny detail or something you should have alluded to way earlier.
Right, and they over-explained how the trick worked at the end. Like, oh, there was a door on the other side, and Sleepy fell through, and a bear got in there because it's his cave. I was like, yeah, I kind of picked that up, but okay, thanks.
Like,
again, for repeating what was just told.
Yeah, it's like two strikes there, right? One is like, first, you didn't do a tell or something at the beginning that might let the audience think of what happened, to the point where we were both confused by the time we got to the episode. And then you over-explain what actually happened, even though, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, I'm just thinking how charming these characters could be. A character like Sleepy, wouldn't you have kind of loved to see a shot of him, like, spinning around the box, and then Sleepy, like, knocking around in there, and then, like, kind of slithers and falls back through a door or something, and it's replaced by a bear? Like, everything just felt like the camera was on medium shot so long on some of these things that I never felt like I was up in or like really getting to know the characters on some of these very key scenes that could have been in the show. But I don't know how I feel. How do you feel about the show overall, Brad? You finished 1.5 episodes.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's weird that Disney also makes you go through a lot of hoops to watch this show that isn't very good. For like, you have to pay for it. It's not on their website. It's really nowhere on the internet because they kind of lock this down. It's like YouTube and things like that because it's Disney. So you have to pay for this show, and if you pay for it, you probably get a little more upset if you don't love it.
Yeah, and that's like, I kind of think the situation we're in.
Yeah, you could have watched any other cartoon for free as long as you have a cable subscription on their Disney XD station. There's no reason this show that's canceled shouldn't just live on that website.
Yeah, Disney's always been kind of weird about their libraries. I also think generally as a whole, cartoons, if it's brand new, you can find it. If it's a classic, you can typically find it. If there's like a weird like new-ish, like in the last 5-10 years, but maybe like post 2 years ago, so like, I don't know, let's just say 2010 to 2016, there's like a weird gap where it's actually kind of hard to find some of those shows. Unless it was a critical success, like a Gravity Falls or something like that, you know. I think we're both a little down on the 70. It's something that just feels like, you know, I don't think it like doesn't tarnish obviously how great the early Walt Disney film was, you know, that's still a classic, but it just seems like maybe a misstep of an imagination, a reimagination of this world.
Yeah, like I said, I think they could have just called it The Dwarves, had a couple other dwarves that they could introduce. Maybe it would have felt maybe too Smurf-like, but they could have had the seven of the dwarves. You kind of were like, oh, maybe this is like where they came from, but like then you lead other questions like, well, what happened to Crybaby Dwarf, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be desired here. I admire a lot of the work that went into it. Some of the character art is fun. Some of the action is fun. But there's tiny little things that just bug me, and then I think the stories were just all over the place. Like, hey, let's make it for kids and also a reality show. Oh.
I wonder, does the show hurt itself that the dwarfs are all male, too? There are like they're helping the princess. There are like female characters in the show, like Hildy. But if they would have expanded the dwarf world a little bit, they could have had a couple female dwarfs in there that maybe the audience might have gravitated to a little bit.
Yeah, you might.
That's just me.
If it was made now, I think that's also a lens of today that just 4 years ago was not maybe as rampant, right? It was something it should have been considered all the time, of course. But this seems like straight plug and play. Like, there were seven male dwarfs. Let's make seven male dwarfs again.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... But, like, these days, if you take, like, a comic book thing, maybe... I wonder if Disney would be open to this kind of thing. You know how, like, characters are being reimagined in comic book movies where it's like... correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody knows, like, comic stuff. I'm pretty sure the upcoming Captain Marvel film, that Captain Marvel is a dude in the comics, but they're reimagining it as a woman, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I never really...
Well, so there's stuff like that, right, where comics...
Character fan.
Or, like, Spider-Girl, or, like, Supergirl, like, whatever. Like, they take characters and just, like, swap genders to make it more inclusive. Like, you could easily still have a, you know, a Sneezy could be a girl, or, you know, a sleepy could be a girl. Like, it doesn't have to be a male. The names are literally their trait, you know?
Yeah, so I'm surprised they didn't at least make one of them. Mm. But then that might have opened up this whole other thing. Like, well, why is, if this happened before, why is Sneezy now a boy? Is Sneezy right. Trans? I don't, you know.
It reminds me of that. We brought it up when we watched Street Sharks a long time ago, that there was that guy who, like, wrote fan fiction of Street Sharks that, like, there was this female Street Shark and, like, made it up for, like, 20 years, but it actually never existed. But people, enough information was out there that people believed it over the years. They're like, yeah, I remember that. Like, she was my favorite character. She was not a character. Stuff like that. Anyway, I think it's going to do it for this episode. Let's get out of here, Brad. Where can people find you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Brad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter at Jacob Williams. And, of course, Toon Talk Weekly all over the place. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. We're on all those places as at Toon Talk Weekly. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com is our email. Shoot us an email if you have any questions, comments, or want to let us know what show you'd like us to check out. And of course, ToonTalkWeekly.com, the main hub for the show, where you can find any and all episodes up to this point. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm kind of glad we both were on the same page. I think sometimes I do like when we feel differently about a show, but I feel like both of us thought something maybe was missing here. And I thought that was a good discussion on maybe what that was. again, people should realize too, this is a show where we're literally just like giving our thoughts. We are in no way saying like, hey, you made a bad show, because it's hard work. Like, it's still tough to do. We're not shitting on that.
Yeah, it's not a bad show. Well, it's just not a, there are better options, right? Like, kudos to the team that put it together. Like, all the artwork is, you know, it looks nice, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a lot of work, as we said, but yeah. It wasn't for us.
I just felt like I needed to give that caveat, because I feel like generally the tone was down for this episode. So anyway.
Yeah, but all pieces of content, all entertainment is not for everyone, right? That's why there's lots of it.
Just like this content. Ba-ding! all right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll, of course, be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
About the show, visit ToonTalkWeekly.com or follow us on Twitter at ToonTalkWeekly.